Say good morning to each and every one of you here today. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And welcome the visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcome here as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be here this morning. It's been good to been encouraged and by the service so far. It's good to come together to worship the Lord and to join together with other believers. And it's always amazing to me, and you know, when we gather collectively to worship in this way, how we can leave encouraged and strengthened and gain a lot of, I don't know if stamina is the right word, but yeah, have a lot to continue on through life. And last Sunday, Lois and I was asked to share a message at Cornerstone in Ephrata. They had a church camp out at a campground, and I was asked to share a message there, and it was very, very warm. When I went up, the brother that prayed with me, he's like, you know, he said it quietly to me. He's like, you probably haven't preached without air conditioning for quite a while. And I said, no, it's been a while. I was done. My shirt was wet. But anyway, it was a good service. It was good to be back here with you all as well. The message this morning we have before us, I want to laid on my heart to bring a message on unity. And I want to say this up front, maybe as a, I don't know if a disclaimer is the right word, but I'm not sharing this message because I feel we have a struggle in that area. Brother Ernie, one thing he shared with me, with many things he shared with me, but one of them was he said, in your sharing the Word of God, learn to be proactive so you don't have to be reactive. And so I think it's good for us to, I think we work together quite well, but we always need to be on guard. We always need to understand what Scripture says. We always need to also be ready and willing to help in where any way we can in the life of the church. When thinking about unity, when you think about unity, what comes to your mind? One definition of unity is harmony and agreement between people or groups that are joined together, people working together for a common goal. Unity, you could say, equals being united, you know, coming together for a common goal. Probably said it before, but I was thinking a little bit as I was preparing for the message, you know, if we have a building project, let's say you're wanting to build a shed or you're wanting to make an addition on your house, you and your wife, hopefully if you're married, you'll talk about it and come to an agreement on how you want to do it, what you want to do, and you know there's some give and take on both sides. When kind of the same way in the church, you know, unity, we're planning and Lord willing sometime to remodel the other end of the church building. I think I've said it like this before, if when it's done, it's probably not going to be exactly like each one of us would have done it if it was our individual project, but we come together and put together and unify for a common goal and a common purpose. And that also carries into the life of the church. You know, each one of us here, probably there's something maybe a little bit different in our belief. When I say that, we all believe, I trust, we all believe in being saved by grace through Jesus Christ, that his blood was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. But in fleshing out the Christian life, sometimes there's a little bit of difference, but yet when we come together collectively as a group, we need to be willing to put to work for the furtherance of the church, the work of the church and the gospel. A couple verses to get our minds thinking about some of that. In Matthew 12, verse 25, says it like this. And Jesus knew their thoughts. There was a whole lot of stuff he was saying here before that, so I'm jumping in, but I'm just trying to draw a point out of this verse. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Another verse kind of brings out that same thought back in Mark 3, verses 24 and 25 says, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So it's very good for us to remember that when division, I've seen a quote and I wanted to write it down. This was actually a couple weeks ago before I was even planning to share the message, but it was something along the line like this, that when there's division and discord in the church, can you expect the Holy Spirit to show up? It was kind of a question. And I really thought about that, and I've been thinking about that. If we really want our church to be honoring and glorifying to God and our service to be a sweet-smelling savor as it is to the Lord, we need to be willing to work together and to be united in the furtherance of the gospel. Someone said it like this: you and I are connected in a covenant and relationship with one another through Jesus. Our connection with the Father affects and governs our relationships with each other. And our relationships with each other affects our relationship with God. It's kind of a circle thing that comes back around. As we think about unity, as we think about the life of the church, what is the goal or what is the purpose of the church? I wrote three things down. There's probably many more things. There's some more things you could add to it. But the first and foremost we could say is to worship God, to build up or to equip the saints, to spread the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ would be the third thing that I thought about. So we think about that, unity is important in all three of these purposes. We want to look this morning at what we need to do, each of us personally, so that we can come together and have unity. I have three different verses here yet I would like to read in the opening, thinking about unity, thinking about some other things that tie into unity. But Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." I had this verse a couple weeks ago when I shared a message on holiness, but this week it ties in with peace. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Romans 12:18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." In other words, give it everything you got. Maybe I'll just share a little story came to my mind. I was reading some different stories, different illustrations this week, and there was one, think of that, if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, that verse. There was a story of the two neighbors. There was a dispute where the property line was. The one neighbor man said it was, I don't know the whole story, but it appeared it must have been in a lot, building lot type situation, because the one neighbor said it was 15 feet from where the line was. So if it was a big lot, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. And the other man said, "Well, that's fine with me." So when they were there getting ready to redo the line of between the lots, the other neighbor man said, "Well, let's move it 1 foot beyond where you think it is onto the other side and give him 1 foot more to make sure that you have everything that is yours." And you know that as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The other verse, Romans 14:19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another." Text this morning, if you will turn with me at this time, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This morning, as we go through the message, we want to look at our personal responsibilities we have so that we can have unity and be united in the church. Three parts to the message. This morning, again, we want to look at the different characteristics of a Christian that will depend whether we can have unity or whether there will be discord. Part one we want to look at is humility. You know, humility, I believe, is a very key part of being a Christian, being humble. For us to be humble, for us to have humility, we first of all have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to come and recognize our smallness in the midst of His greatness. And when I say our smallness, how little we have to offer Him without His grace in our lives, but once we have His grace in our lives, we are called to go out and be humble servants and to serve those around us. Jesus displayed humility when He was here on this earth. When we also have humility, it helps us recognize who we are in Christ and helps us recognize the value and the worth that Christ sees in other people. It is the opposite of pride and arrogance, which will almost always result in discord. Pride says, "What's in it for me?" Humility says, "How will this help me to help others?" A couple verses in Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3 says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Verse 3 there in our text, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind." Then look what the rest of the verse says. "Let each esteem other better than themselves." Did you ever think about that thought for a little bit? You know, our fleshly human nature is, what's in it for me? What can I get out of it? What do others see in me? But here it's saying, let each esteem others better than themselves. Be willing to lift others up. Be willing to encourage others along. Not looking for any benefit, not looking for any reward, but let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, esteeming each other. Humility helps us to fulfill what we see there in verse 2 in our text. It says, first starts out, "Fulfill ye my joy," but then it says, "That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." Coming together for one cause and one purpose. Our level of humility, our desire for unity, and our desire to dwell together in peace often reveals our level of Christian maturity. It reveals our Christian character. It reveals our commitment that we have to follow God and to be obedient to His commandments. You know, all of us are on a different place in our journey in our Christian life. Someone that has became a Christian recently as you grow and mature, you learn these principles and apply these principles in a different way. As you know, as I'm speaking from experience, as I think back in my own life and some of the things that I remember of doing in my own life, and you know, you kind of shudder sometimes, wondering what you were really thinking. And then I sometimes think, well, am I going to look back 20 years from now and look at some things I'm doing now? But you just don't know. But yeah, as you continue to grow and you continue to mature, you come to a different level of recognizing who you are in your walk with the Lord. As we dwell together in the life of the church, our love for one another should deepen, which will reflect our desire and will cause a result to endeavor to get along and to love one another. What is your utmost goal in life? Let's look at verse 4 and 5 here in our text. It says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know, I thought about that, I pondered on that a little bit. When you get up in the morning, what's your first thoughts? Well, you know, your various things you got to do today. You know, if you have a job, if you're working, you know, you got to be at a certain place at a certain time. You got to do certain things at a certain time. But yet, here it's saying that we need to be, and let me back up. I think we need to be responsible and take care of our responsibilities. So don't hear me wrong that we neglect them. But we need to be thinking about how we can better others, how we can help others along the way as well. Look not every man on his own things, or don't be, maybe you can paraphrase this in a different way. Don't be so concerned on what's happening in your own life, but be concerned on what others are facing as well. Part two we want to look at is overcoming pride. Our human nature, our human tendency is, what am I going to get out of it, or what's in it for me? I already mentioned that a little bit. But these verses show us that our goal should be to meet the needs of others, love and care for one another, reaching out and helping someone in need. We hear a lot today about grace. And I don't want to minimize that, because without grace, we don't have anything. God's grace is sufficient for us. God loved us so much that his grace was extended towards us. But we need to be careful as we think about some of that, that we don't miss the point of what we need to do as Christians. Humility causes us to be gentle, to be patient, to have forbearance with one another. Pride causes the opposite. Matthew 11:29, I'm not going to turn to it, but it talks about Jesus describes himself as being meek or gentle and lowly in heart. You know, if we're going to look out for the needs of others, can we do that without having the love of God in our own hearts? I'm not saying some people might not be have that tendency more as a human tendency, but our human tendency is not always looking out for the needs of others, but it's looking more for the needs of ourselves. So we need to have the love of God in our hearts before we can reach out and help others along the way. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. Says charity, these are very familiar verses, charity or love. King James uses charity, I think the New King James uses love, I'll put love, but love suffereth long, is kind, love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Love never fails. Well, I don't know. If we apply all that to our lives, it'll go a long ways in helping us to have unity and working together in the church. Romans 12, verse 10. Says, be kindly affection one toward another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. I wrote in my Bible, underneath that is to respect one another, to encourage one another. Just a lot of things that we could think about as we think of some of that in connection with having unity and dwelling together in love. Question for each one of us to think about: when was the last time you encouraged someone or helped build someone up? You know, I remember, and I wasn't even planning to share this, it just came to my mind, but we had two different fires there about 18 months apart. We had the barn fire, and that was a lot greater loss than the second fire, but the second fire was a small shed fire, and we as far as when I say a lot greater loss, it the amount of building space, the amount it cost to rebuild was a lot greater loss than the first fire. And the second fire, I remember it was at night and we lost some dogs and goats and some miniature horses in that one. I don't probably haven't shared this with too many people other than my wife and maybe Brother Ernie, because he's the one that encouraged me. But I was so angry that night after that second fire. I went out around behind the shed. I could have cared less if I seen anyone. I was ready to throw everything out the door. And I don't know who, this was like 9:30 at night, and I don't know who called Ernie, but somebody did, and my phone rang, and I answered it. And it just changed a lot of things that night. And the next morning at 6:30, Brother Ernie came pulling in our driveway. And I'm just sharing this to say, if you have on your heart, if you have any way to reach out to somebody that's hurting or have some way to touch somebody's life that has a need, do it. Don't feel like you don't have anything to offer someone. It'll change your perspective. What does this have with unity? When you feel and connect with somebody else and recognize their love towards you, it goes a long way in helping you to work together and helping you to understand one another. I'll read that quote again. Our goal should be to build one another up personally and also at the corporate level, at the church. Did you ever tell your children that you appreciate them, you appreciate what they do? Did you ever tell, I guess I do technically, but it's a little different than working at a big corporation where you'd have a lot of coworkers. Do you ever tell your coworkers thanks for the good job? You know, it's pretty easy to put your boss down or to look at the negative part. Do you ever tell your boss thanks for giving me a job, for giving me a way to provide for my family? Did you ever tell your brother and sister in the church that you appreciate them? Did you tell the song leader, thanks for the songs you led this morning? I appreciated that. Did you tell the scripture reader, thanks for the scripture you read this morning? For thinking about building one another up. Or do you sit there and think, and I hope this isn't part of it, but thinking about this thing of overcoming pride, not being prideful. I wished I could have did that, or I could have did a better job than he did. That'll tear down unity. That'll tear down humility in the church. For our human body to work, it has to work together. You know, I've probably said this before. It's been a long time if I have, but you know, if your hand said, well, I don't need you, the leg, let's get rid of the leg. Or if the leg said, I don't need the hand, let's get rid of the leg. Sorry, I said that backwards. If the leg says, I don't need the hand, let's get rid of the hand. We can't do that. Our mind, if it's working properly the way that God designed it to work, we don't even have to think about, like, I don't have to mechanically think that I'm going to move my right arm now. It just moves and responds as you function, you know, as you walk. You don't think, well, I'm going to have to move this right leg, now my left leg, my right leg, now my left leg. No, it just responds as you walk. And sometimes as people have injuries, as Brother Dale did, and yeah, this has just come to my mind too, but he has to work with that and regain mobility, regain strength. But thinking about some of this and comparing to the life of the church, you know, the Bible refers to the church as a building, and it also refers to the church as a body, the different aspects of the body. What I'm trying to get us to think is we need each other. When we get to the place of thinking that we don't need someone, that that somebody isn't needed, we're working hard at causing disunity when we have them feelings. Remember Brother Jerry Stahlsfuth, he would be a pastor in South Carolina, the BMA church. He said it like this: when somebody gets disgruntled in the church and leaves, he said it's similar to an amputation where it'll never fully make up from that person leaving the church. We want the church to fulfill God's plan and purpose that he has. We need to work together. Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he dealt a lot with pride. To paraphrase, I guess, to put it in a nutshell, what he said many times is, don't do things to be noticed of other men. Thinking a little bit more of humility or overcoming pride, we want to look at a couple more of the verses here in our text, thinking of Jesus' life. There in verses 6 through 8, talks about Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's two key words there in those verses that I believe will help us in many things in life. The first one is there in verse 7, where he talks about he took on the form of a servant, having a servant heart. The second one is in verse 8, where it says he humbled himself and did his father's will, became obedient unto death. Basically, he humbled himself to do his father's will. So I think there's two key words there that we can draw on our own lives. That we would be a servant, take on the form of a servant, being willing to serve, being willing to do what others need, what God wants us to do to help others, and to humble ourselves in obedience to what God has for us. Part 3, we want to look at yet his personal responsibilities. Verses 12 through 15. One part of the verse there, well, I may read part of verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, does that say work out your brothers and sisters' salvation? No, it says work out your own salvation. Do what God wants you to do. I think it was brought up in Sunday school. It's pretty easy to pick out. I don't know if it was worded quite like this, but it's pretty easy to pick out the faults or the inconsistencies in somebody else's life. But what about our own life? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Be willing to obey God and obey his commands. Continue to walk in the commands of God. Adam Clark said it this way, minding the things of God till your salvation is complete, till you're filled with love to man and God, walking unblameable in all of your testimonies, having your fruit unto holiness and your end unto everlasting. Minding the things of God till your life is over here on this earth. Realizing with fear and trembling how easy it is for you to trip up and fall in your own life. One of the questions that we, I think, need to ask ourselves from time to time is that thought of, what is my goal in life? Is it to get what I want, or is it to fulfill the will of God for my life, for the betterment of the church, and to further the kingdom of God? Verse 13 there in our text, God wants to work in us and through us. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Verse 14, very straight and to the point. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Did you ever run into somebody that it didn't matter what was happening, they found something to complain about? I remember my dad, I don't even remember who the man was, but he referred to him one time as a chronic complainer. And you know, there's just some people that have a negative attitude about life. But here it's saying, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things out of heart of a love for the sake of unity. One thing we need to remember is, why are we really here? Why did God place me on this earth in the year of 2021? Was it just so I could enjoy life and go to heaven someday? And I trust that that is part of it, and I think that it is part of it. But I believe God has a purpose and a plan for each of our lives. here today in the year of 2021? Are we willing to fulfill that purpose in our lives? Too many times I think we forget our personal responsibilities to our, in our commitments to the church and to God and to one another. Are we willing to commit to working together and following the will of God to further the unity of the church? Had to think about our church constitution. We have a mission statement in there. It says, we are a caring community of faith, fully dependent on the Holy Spirit, committed to glorifying God, magnifying Christ, and sharing the gospel with all people, edifying our brothers and sisters through the teaching of and obedience to God's revealed word. We are a caring community of faith, fully dependent on the Holy Spirit, committed to glorifying God. Am I being faithful in my commitments to the Lord? Am I being faithful to what I have committed to the church here at New Hope? God does not take promises and commitments lightly. You know, I shared a little bit there at the beginning, and I'm not sharing the message to because I feel we have a big issue in this area. We were at a family gathering last night, and one of my wife's uncles, I was talking with him, and he asked me if I had to preach this morning. And I said, yeah. And he said, what are you preaching on? And I told him, and he said, well, you need to come preach that at our church. I said, oh, boy. He said, our church is in a crisis right now. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of churches out there that are in that situation right now. Between the differences of opinion with everything that happened in the last year to 18 months to other things that are happening, there's a lot of churches where there's a lot of unrest. So I'm just sharing that to encourage us to be on guard, you know, in your personal walk with the Lord, in your personal relationships with one another, in the church, in the home, in your families. Then I heard of another situation where there's a young man that's unfaithful to his wife. I just heard this last evening as well, where he's unfaithful to his wife, and there's a court hearing tomorrow, and it's going to be decided whether it's going to get settled out of court or whether it's going to go through the court system of the husband filed for a divorce. It'd both be from Christian families. And, you know, it's just like, I was talking to Lois, it's like, how can this stuff be? How can this, but it happens by personally letting your guard down one step at a time. So I'm just sharing some of that for us to be on guard, to encourage us in our marriages, in our homes, in the church, to continue to endeavor to get along, to be unified. Coming to a close here, I ask each one of us this morning to ask ourselves the question, where am I at in my relationship with the Lord? And where am I at on my level of commitment to the church? Is my level of commitment unifying or building up the church? Or is it being divisive and tearing it down? I want to read verse 15 yet, or look at verse 15 yet, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Wow, we could probably make about two or three messages out of just that verse. But you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, without, in other words, without discrepancy, without things that could be used against you in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, if it's ever more, ever in history, we're getting very far into that now. A crooked and perverse nation, one where they've forgotten about God, one where they almost they do make a mockery of God. They blatantly act like there is no God. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. There's a lot more could be said there, but what are you doing to have your testimony shining as a light to the world? Are we living as blameless and harmless? Are we dwelling together in unity? Are we willing to put our best foot forward? Next Sunday is Father's Day. We'll probably talk a little bit more about this, maybe some then, but are we, as husbands in the home, Are we loving our wives as Christ loved the church? Wives in the home, are you being there and supportive and submissive and helping your husband as your role? All of that has a lot to do with coming together and being unified in the church and shining as lights in the midst of the world that we live in. With that in mind, let us kneel for prayer.